It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Welcome everyone to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor. It's Friday. It's fun. Phone Friday. Say that quickly three times. We won't do that again today, but it is Friday, and it's the day that we just sit around and shoot the bull. Kirk Elliott joins me here on set. Austin O'Neill, the producer extraordinaire, working behind the scenes over here with us. A lot to talk about this weekend, and there's so much news, so many things going on right now. And I think maybe what we should start off with talking about first, Kirk Elliott brought it up to me here just a minute ago. What was it, 30 years ago, Alan Kulwicki died in a helicopter crash, a plane crash, right?
30 years ago today.
30 years ago today.
Yep. Alan Kulwicki, who had just come off winning the NASCAR Cup Series championship.
Didn't even get to enjoy his championship.
Not really.
Mm-mm.
Not even a full year.
Nope.
And we heard about a tragic plane crash at Bristol. Not too far from Bristol Motor Speedway.
Yep.
Because that's where they were going to be racing on this weekend 30 years ago. And Alan Kulwicki and some other folks.
Don't be so somber, Kirk.
I can't remember the names of on that airplane. Also died in that wreck. Hooters was a big sponsor of his back
then. The president of Hooters, I think, was on that plane as well, wasn't he?
Yep.
I can't remember his name.
I can't either.
I wonder if Jayski has something up there about that, Kirk. I bet they do.
That or Chuck Wikipedia.
But that was a tragic year all the way around because later in July, we lost Davey Allison in a helicopter crash at Talladega Super Speedway.
Yep. Yeah, that wasn't a very good year, was it, Kirk?
Yeah, it was. That was pretty hard to deal with because especially Davey Allison. He was my favorite driver back then. I'll just come out and say it.
Well,
I was a big fan of Davey Allison.
So was Sharon Traylor. That was her favorite driver. She had all the Davey Allison gear and jacket and everything. She was a huge Davey Allison fan, and that was a sad day for her as well, losing who she thought was going to be a cup champion. He never did get a chance to win that championship, and I think a lot of people say this over the years. You've heard many people say this, that if Davey Allison had survived and Tim Richmond had lived, Dale Earnhardt Sr. wouldn't have seven championships. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I do believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Because Davey Allison had a chance to win the championship when Alan Kulwicki won it in 92. Matter of fact, he had the points lead going into that race at Atlanta that year. And Alan Kulwicki was able to count the laps. He led the most laps in that race that put him over the top. Bill Elliott won the race that day. By the way, that was also the same race that Richard Petty waved farewell to it all.
His last race at Atlanta.
And the first race ever for Jeff Gordon.
Do you remember what Richard Petty did that race, Kirk? He crashed out early in that race.
Yeah.
And he went into the pits, and they damn near had to rebuild that car. And they rolled him out with just a few laps to go so he could finish the race under the checkered flag at the end of that race. Do you remember that?
I do remember that now that you mention it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was great. But Alan Kulwicki, I think he accomplished what we'll never see again. He was an independent owner, owned his own team, and for him to be able to put a championship-winning season together the way he did, I don't think you could be able to pull that off nowadays.
Mm.
I really don't. And the first independent owner driver in a long time at that time, and he's the last of his kind.
Trackhouse is doing a pretty good job of it, aren't they?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Justin Marks.
I'm just saying, isn't he doing a pretty good job with that team?
Absolutely. You'd
a
have
small
to
budget
say,
team?
You'd have to say Ross Chastain is a championship contender.
He came into COTA
last weekend with three straight top three finishes, and then to pull off the win the way he did, and the way he's running right now, and as consistently as they've been running here for the last month, you have to say that he's a championship contender. Will he win the championship?
Right.
I'm going to say probably not,
mm-hmm.
but the way he's been running, you got to say they're in the mix.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's get into some of the news that's going on right now, Kirk. That was probably the top of the news, talking about, you know, losing Davey Allison and Alan Kulwicki. But a lot of races are still on. Some have been postponed. Some have been moved. I know that they have that ASCS Sooner Region race that was supposed to race at Tulsa Speedway. They have officially moved that over to Creek County Speedway. And that'll be on Racing Dirt tonight. So if you want to watch that, no longer on Racing Boys, but on Racing Dirt. So those guys will have the live broadcast for you tonight at Creek County. That'll be pretty good.
Yeah. It's,
I love watching the races at Creek, just so you know.
You're going to see some National Tour drivers there because they were supposed to be in Mississippi this weekend.
Jackson, Mississippi.
But that got called off for a couple of different reasons. Tire shortages and flooding in the area down there. Floods were expected.
Flood warnings and tire shortage postponed that race down in Jackson, yeah. Mississippi.
So no go for that. So I think you're going to see some National Tour drivers there at Creek County and also at 81 Speedway tomorrow night.
Yeah,
racing with the Sooner Region.
Right, right. And the World of Outlaw Late Models, are they still racing tonight at Farmer City?
Called off.
They called that race off.
Yeah, too wet. Too wet. They put that notice out yesterday. Just couldn't do it. They had two nights scheduled for Farmer City Raceway, but Mother Nature not cooperating. And also the USAC sprint cars were supposed to run at Lawrenceburg Speedway tomorrow night. That's been called off due to wet weather.
Austin, you were informing me just a little bit before we went on the air that the World of Outlaws have changed their schedule down at Lawton. They're going to qualify at 6 o'clock, and races are going to start at 7, right?
Yes, they said in hopes that the races would get over at a decent time, they moved back or moved up the starting times. So I believe it's 5:30 motor heat, 6 o'clock hot laps, opening ceremonies, and racing to follow at 7. So I don't know what other classes they have at Lawton, but it sounds like they got a full schedule and had to push times up a little bit.
I want to give a shout-out to Marvin, who's listening from Miamisburg, Ohio. And Jimmy, who's listening from Southwestern PA. So I want to thank those guys for tuning into the show. Man, it's just amazing how many people listen all over the country. We're averaging somewhere, what, about 42 states a day, right?
42 states, 9 countries, a couple continents. You know, what's funny is I had to give a presentation today in my English class.
Oh.
And it was just a little paragraph paper. And I sat there and I'm like, I don't want to say I'm nervous, but I'm talking to a crowd, but, you know, I come to work and I'm talking to thousands of people around the country and the world, and I don't get nervous for it. I feel like I'm just talking like I normally do. But
nobody's looking at you besides me and Kirk.
Yeah, I know. I'm sitting there in class like, why do you feel that way, dude? It's funny because I go and do this, and it's just totally different. But
Martin Edwards just chimed in. He said Lawton moved up because of possible weather coming in.
And that should be a quick show because the only support division they're running is Lawton.
I love Lawton.
USRA factory stock, so they'll run that show through pretty quick tonight, I'll bet.
Yeah, Marcia does a good job running that racetrack. She'll do a fine job getting that show in tonight. Hopefully they'll just get it sped up and get it running through real quick.
And Devil's Bowl Speedway tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So that'll be a big show down there.
Man, there's nothing better than going, you know, I used to love going from Lawton to Devil's Bowl or Devil's Bowl to Lawton, just... You know, the Edwards family are some of my favorite people, and really enjoyed working with those folks over the years. I know that LR and Martin are doing a good job down there at Devil's Bowl, and Marcy doing a good job up there at Lawton. I know they got rid of RPM. No longer have that racetrack anymore. So, but they do a good job at running those racetracks, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching Creek County and Lawton tonight at the same time. Also got a modified race at Richmond this weekend. The NASCAR guys at Richmond, paid modifieds, are on there, and Flow Racing's carrying that racing action tonight.
Yeah.
And so we got some pretty good racing going on tonight.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. Are they running the late models tonight at Bristol?
I believe so.
I think they are.
So we're watching. We got Race XR playing, and I think that's from a couple nights ago.
Well, let me. I'm going to go to it real quick here and take a look at their schedule. Today, April 1st, they are doing what? Sorry to drag it out, Kirk. Can you fill for me for a second?
Well, I can tell you the dirt race for NASCAR is coming up on Sunday, April 17th. That's when the Cup Series is going to be
Not talking about Cup. I'm talking about dirt late models.
The other parts of that schedule down at Bristol Motor Speedway, I don't know.
Well, they had 2 weeks of dirt racing for like our local classes. I know last week was the first week, and this week was the final week. So I believe they should have them there.
Right. Well, you know what's funny? I'm looking at March 20th to April 2nd, and then I'm looking here April 1st and 2nd. They will have super late models, open modifieds, factory stocks, street stocks, Hornets, and 604 late models.
I'll tell you, I was working on a t-shirt order last night, and I had the race playing on the TV, and we watched about three Hornet features. And I'll tell you, after the first five laps of the first one, I was ready for them to get off the track.
There's nothing worse than Hornet racing.
It was awful. On a half mile, it was awful.
Kirk, had a little dangerous run in Hornets on the Bristol Motor Speedway.
Well, did you guys hear about...
Kirk, they used to run Hornets at I-70 weekly.
Yeah, and I thought that was too dangerous, too.
It was.
Did you hear about the accident in West Virginia about 3 weeks ago?
Didn't hear
There was a big Hornet race, and a driver got upside down and at the start of the feature, and his seat belts weren't on, and I think something, like maybe a seat wasn't mounted correctly,
right,
and it threw him from the car and killed him.
No way.
Dead serious.
Listen, when they first brought Hornets out to I-70 Speedway, I said, we're going to kill somebody in these cars.
Yeah.
And there's no disrespect to the people that want to race those cars, right? Because some people can only afford so much, right?
Right.
But those cars were not made for I-70 Speedway.
No.
And on top of that, the people that built those cars really didn't know how to build race cars. Mm-hmm. And if they had a huge impact out at I-70 Speedway, there was a good chance that some of the weaker points of those cars, the way they were built, were going to implode a little bit.
Oh,
right?
Man. I mean, I saw...
You've seen some of the welds on those cars.
Oh, my goodness. You want to go see some interesting characters and cars, go to Double X Speedway. Well, they dropped the class last year. If you would have went to Double X,
the front-wheel drive cars,
yeah,
they did.
If you would have went to Double X about 4 years ago, you would have seen some characters there. Even Moberly, I went to Moberly 2 years ago and raced, and that's anywhere you go. I mean, there are some nice cars out there, but 90% of the Hornets in the country are just awful.
They're just not built well.
No, they're not.
No, and they're dangerous. And first of all, when you watch a race on dirt, what do you want to see your cars do? You want to see them slide, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to see the tail kick out, and you want to see those
big slide jobs.
And with these front-wheel drive cars, you don't see that.
No. They're so tight. They carry the left rear.
It just bothers me to no end to watch that stuff. How about you, Kurt?
Yeah, I'm with you all the way on that. I can't...
You're not much of a...
I can't argue with you at all on that point.
Yeah.
So, now they... those kinds of cars belong on a small quarter mile or 3/8 mile at the best track. No bigger than that.
They really don't belong on anything.
Keep them on the streets.
But, you know, here's the problem. All the cars nowadays are front-wheel drive cars. What are we going to do eventually?
I don't know. I will say, I went to the All-American 400 in Nashville last year with a bunch of buddies, and they had a front-wheel drive class there. And it put on some good racing. It was pavement.
Yeah,
they had a full field, and you know they were all built race
Listen,
cars.
I can see it a little more on pavement than I can on dirt.
Right, but you know they were built like they're front wheel drive, some rear wheel drive, but they were built 4-cylinder cars.
Right,
a little different from the Hornet class, but I mean certain areas they do have good rules and regulations and decent racing.
Right. Did you see this? This USAC excludes penalty after testing tires at three labs. Teams pull out. What about that, Austin? What are you hearing about that?
Well, I did see that, you know, they sent some tire samples off after Ocala, and a couple teams did make posts. I know Keith Koontz made a post yesterday on Twitter that they weren't going to be at Lawrenceburg tomorrow night.
He was planning on running some non-wing sprint cars.
He was going to run the whole tour, whole USAC National Tour with a sprint car with Buddy Kofoy driving. He's pulled out of it. I know Shane Cochran pulled out. I need to read the article a little closer to understand it, but sounds like maybe we got some tire doping going on.
Wow. Here's a statement from Keith Koontz. After waiting for a decision on this, we at KKM have decided that we will not compete with the USAC Sprint Car Series going forward, the team owner stated via Twitter. That's a big loss for USAC.
They're just lucky he didn't pull the midgets out, or they would have a 12-car midget field.
How many tickets do you think Buddy Kofoy would sell at those races?
Quite a bit.
Oh, man. It's a huge loss. What do you think, Kurt?
Well, since Levi Jones is not part of the equation anymore at USAC, I kind of expected things to change a little bit. You know, USAC's always been pretty political over the years. When Levi Jones was there, that seemed to be mitigated somewhat. And with him not there to kind of work the politics between the competitors and the organization, who's going to step in to fill that void? Mm-hmm. I wondered about that, and now we're getting a lot of this kind of stuff coming back.
Who is the new director? Do we know, Austin? Does anybody have any idea?
Okay, spread it out over.
Can you look that up on USAC, Kirk? Maybe you look that up on USAC. You can find out who the new director is over there.
From what I read earlier when Levi Jones stepped aside, that USAC was going to just kind of spread those duties out over a multitude of people. So if there's any one person that
never
had
works.
The kind of stature that Levi Jones had,
listen,
I don't know about
Kirk,
that.
Kirk, that never works. It never works when you have a group of people making the decisions. There's got to be one person that has to make the decisions, right? It's just like our business, right? Me and you are almost identical partners in this thing, but somebody has to make the final decision. And unfortunately, you've given me that job to do that. I don't always like doing that because your opinion matters a lot to me. But to be honest with you, somebody, you got to have one person that makes the final decision on everything. You can't make decisions through a group of people. Do you agree with me on that, Kurt?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think Levi Jones, having been a competitor himself, did a really good job of working the politics of everything at USAC, and it was great while he was there, my opinion. So his loss is a big loss. And
I would agree with that.
You know, USAC will continue on. They've been around for 100 years, so USAC's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But it's, anytime you have a race organization such as USAC, there's a lot of politics at play.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take our first break of the day. We want to make sure that we pay all the bills, and we want to thank all of our great supporters that help us out. And none more than Lucas Oil Products. It works. They've been great to us over the last 12 years. They've been great partners for the Racing Boys. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more of Phone and Fun Friday. That we'll put the phone number up. Let's see if you've got the nerve to call in on the show, 816-833-8553, 816-833-8553. Mostly Motorsports will continue when we come back in a moment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott. That guy sitting right over next to me right here, that's Kirk Elliott. We are the Racing Boys, and it's Phone Fun Friday here on Mostly Motorsports. We'd like for you to call in, and we don't care what you talk about, as long as it's not politics or religion. We're not going to talk about that because I don't want to talk about politics. I don't want to talk about what's going on in the world of politics. It's not my favorite subject.
You almost got into it the other day, though.
Well, I got close. Got right to the edge.
When you start talking about fuel prices and tire shortages.
Well, but you know what? You know what, though, Kirk? Really, just to be fair, the cost of fuel is going to be devastating for motorsports this summer, I think.
Yes.
I'm just going to say it. I think a lot of drivers that can run for points normally, I think a lot of those drivers are now going to pick and choose where they go and make sense of how much money they spend on fuel, right? It's just like Wayne Johnson. He didn't go to the West Coast because he didn't want to get out there and pay $6 a gallon for fuel, right? So he stayed back here, picked him up a win down at Devil's Bowl. It was Devil's Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're going to see a lot more of that. I mean, Kyle Davis, he said the same thing, right? He was just going to pick and choose and run those USMTS races, right? And we've heard a lot of the people say that that's what they're going to do. They're not going to run for points.
If you don't have a fuel sponsor,
how can you do it?
You can't.
I mean, really, seriously, how can you afford to run up and down the road with the price of fuel the way it is right now?
Diesel fuel especially. I mean, it's just crazy.
Well, listen.
Hey, I'll let you. I got to fill my diesel up when I leave here. I'll let you know how much it is.
Kenny Brown yesterday said what they spent $800 just going down to Oklahoma City last weekend.
Right.
Crazy.
Yeah. Heads up.
I'm not going to be taking the bus out that much. Wherever I take that bus.
You're going to park it for the summer.
I'm going to park it for the summer. If that's Lake Ozark Speedway or if that's Knoxville, that's where that thing's going to sit, and it's not going to be running up and down the road that much. I'm just not going to do it, man. I'm not going to burn that fuel up. And you know, it's something that Kenny and I talked about yesterday, and it really pisses me off, right? Diesel fuel is the bottom of the barrel gunk. It should be cheaper than gas.
Why is it more expensive?
Why in the hell is it more than gas?
Why?
Can anybody answer that for me? Can anybody tell me why gasoline is higher than diesel? I want to know. Somebody's got the answer to that. I don't get it.
Well, it's going to have a major impact, Kirk, this year. There's no doubt about it.
I bet yours. Now, I don't like to get into your personal business too much, right? But you and your brothers own a farm up in Mount Air, Iowa, right? Could you imagine how much money you'd have to spend in fuel this year if you were still... You lease the farm now, right? You guys farm that land up there for, what, 60 years?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's... And it was just a couple years ago you guys decided to lease the property instead of farming yourself because you and your brothers are getting up there in the age, right?
Right.
So could you imagine right now what the farmers are going to have to pay for fuel to farm
their fields? Oh, it's crazy. And it's not just the fuel. It's fertilizer. It's all the input costs of putting in a crop.
Crazy,
I mean,
man.
All of that is based on all petroleum. So it's not just put gas in your car.
Mm-hmm.
It affects everything. And guess what? The prices of everything go up when fuel prices go up.
Right,
everything
right.
goes up. So, I mean, you talk about these track operators all over the country.
Yep.
The amount of fuel that they got to burn just to prep the racetrack.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, they can't really charge more money for people to get in. You try to pass along all of those costs to the consumer, but you hate to. I mean, you're trying to fill your grandstands. So you don't want to pass that along to your fans if you don't have to, but the costs have gone up dramatically for the track operator.
Here's a great example right here. Chad, we thank you, Chad, for tuning in every day on the show, and Nina as well. We love you, Nina. Chad says, now 600 is paying $5,000 to win the points championship in the restricted cars, and they are averaging 11 cars. We haven't been going because of the fuel.
Yeah. Yeah, and the racers.
And they only have 11 cars.
Right. I talked about the track operator, the racers, and, you know, towing up and down the road. And Austin brought it up himself. A lot of these guys got these big haulers and toter homes and so forth, and they all run on diesel fuel. And, you know, add it up.
Our
amount of money you spend just going to a weekend of races is astronomical.
Kirk, our bus isn't going to be running around that much this year.
Yeah. No. But think of a year ago, we were running all over you were running all over the country.
Yeah.
You know.
But that's when fuel was like $3 a gallon.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And hotel costs have gone up, too. So
Kirk, I thought when you were in war, the price of fuel, does it always go up?
the price of fuel was going up before this war started.
That's true.
So
that's true.
I don't know. I just I pray that things get worked out because these high fuel costs are affecting everybody in a major way.
Yeah. Well, Nina said, yes, fuel will be a big thing. Ayrton said he will be racing smart.
Yeah, that's what you got to
do.
He's
a smart guy anyway.
Well, here's an example of how much this has affected. A lot of these race events have been called off early.
Yeah.
Which maybe a couple of years ago, they might not have been so quick to pull the plug on a lot of these races.
Because they don't want these guys to burn all that fuel.
They don't want these guys to burn all the fuel. And there's a lot of racers, and we heard Wayne Johnson talking about this a couple of weeks ago. They may decide to go to a racetrack, but if they see the weather forecast is bad and there's a good chance of rain, they'll just stay home.
Steve said that diesel fuel became higher than gas when people started buying pickups with diesel motors.
Really?
I
don't know about that.
I don't know. He could be right. I don't know. I'm not going to. I'll take him for his word. All I know is that it's going to be taxing on people like smaller teams like Austin O'Neill, right? Austin?
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, if you have to sit here and think about, all right, am I going to go to 81 Speedway, which is how many hours?
Three and a half.
Right? So you got to think, all right, is it going to be worth going all the way to 81 Speedway and spending that much fuel to go out there and back versus just staying home and not racing? I mean, you've got to make some strong decisions like that, don't you?
No, you exactly do, and I went through and kind of estimated how many miles I'd drive this year and project the number of dollars I'd spend on fuel for our truck, and, you know, I'm going to drive almost 2,500 miles in a month in May.
Do you have to put, what's the additive in your truck? Do you have to put that in? DEF?
Yeah, we do that, but it's every once in a while, so it's not as bad.
How often do you have to put DEF in there?
Honestly, that's a question for my mom. That's her daily. So I don't know. I just
get rid of her car. She's driving a truck now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I added the number up, and it's if fuel stays around, you know, $5.75 a gallon, wherever I go, and I go all season, I'm going to spend about, I don't know, $5,000 in truck fuel. You know, it's just that I could spend that in a lot of other places.
Double of what you spent last year.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much.
Well, hey, listen, Pete wrote in, Kirk, maybe you could read this. It's on the chat room in there. It's a little long for me, and it's pretty technical. But Pete, I appreciate you chiming in there. Can you see that, Kirk, next to the screen over there where Pete chimed in, and he said the reasons for fuel being so high? Do you see that?
Looking for it right now. I think, yeah, I'm looking at it.
All right.
Yeah.
You want to read that for me, Kirk? Because you could read that a lot better than me.
There are three main reasons why diesel fuel prices have been higher than regular gasoline prices in recent years. Demand for diesel fuel and other distillate fuel oils have been relatively high, especially in Europe, China, India, and the United States. They say the transition to less polluting, lower sulfur diesel fuels in the United States affected diesel fuel production and distribution costs. The federal excise tax for on-highway diesel fuel is 24.3 cents per gallon, is 6 cents per gallon higher than the federal excise tax on gasoline.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know.
That's pretty deep for me.
I mean, I'm just reading somebody's opinion. It makes a lot of sense to me what this gentleman wrote. There's a lot of different reasons for it, but his explanation makes about as much sense as anything I've read.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. Martin, he chimed in and said, don't have to raise taxes if you raise the price of fuel because it forces all prices up. So sales tax raises without having to pass a tax bill. How about that?
Yeah, and the environmentalists get involved, and you know all of that plays a major role in what's going on too.
Right, right. He says, "I know you don't want to talk politics, but prices are all politic based."
Well, it's all based on policy decisions by politicians.
Right.
A lot of it.
But we're not talking about politics right here.
But it's a big story in racing right now. You talked about the tire shortages the other day. That's due to supply issues to produce the tires and shortage of help and all of these factors playing a role in the tire shortage that got going on right now that we're just getting started with that. We haven't even scratched the surface of how big that story is going to be as the season progresses.
Yeah, Kirk. Hey, Kirk, do you remember the time we went to Richmond?
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
I'd love that. You know what year that? That was 2005.
Five. Is that many years ago? How about that? 17 years ago we went?
We saw that concert by, who was it, Nickelback?
Nickelback.
Right before the race.
Do you remember the guitar case falling off the back of that truck when they took off? The guy's guitar case with all his fancy guitars in it fell off the back of that truck. Do you remember that? You don't remember that.
I don't remember that.
I do. I remember that. Oh, that was crazy, man.
I remember you taking me for a ride around the racetrack.
Hold on. Oh, first of all.
I remember that.
In the last segment of the show, I told Kirk, I said, Kirk, I'm going to go out and I'm going to make some laps around the racetrack. So I call Kirk on the phone in the last segment.
Yeah.
And I say, Kirk.
On the air.
On the air, I said, I'm out making laps around the racetrack. You didn't believe me, did you?
No. I said, no, they ain't going to let you out there on that.
And I was flying around Richmond Motor Speedway in a rental car, and the guys were painting the walls in the corners. So I had to slow down a little bit in the corners. So when we went off the air, Kirk Elliott come back out, and he got in the car, and what'd we do, Kirk?
We took a ride around Richmond Raceway.
And we flew around there, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was cool. I hope we see the kind of races back at Richmond that we saw back in those days, because the last 4 or 5 years really haven't been so good at Richmond. I don't know if it's because of the race car itself or what it was, but I'm looking for a much more entertaining race than what we've seen in the past
Kirk.
5 or 6 years down there.
You can't put any stock into what's going to happen this weekend because we have the new car.
Yeah. Well, let's hope. That's what I'm saying. Hopefully with the new car, we see a better race than we've seen the last 5 or 6 years there.
Right.
Because I don't think it's been very good at Richmond here over the last few years.
Did you tell me that the USAC race at Lawrenceburg had been canceled as well?
Yeah. So that was supposed to be Saturday night, so they're not going to be able to get that in.
Let's get into this discussion here real quick, all right? When is it too soon to start running races? In your eyes, Kirk, when should you start running your races? When would be the ideal date for you to run races? And I'm going to ask you the same question, Austin. When would you start? If you owned a racetrack.
Middle of May. Yes. Middle of May.
Austin, what about you, bud?
It just depends on where you're at. Are you in Missouri like we are right now? Are you somewhere else?
No, we're
okay.
Right
we're in
here.
Missouri.
Yeah.
I would say probably middle of April, end of April.
I'm with you
because
middle or end of April.
What's happened the past 2 weeks? We've had 4 inches of rain.
Mm-hmm.
Can't race in 4 inches of rain. One, I don't want to start racing March 1st like a track here locally does, and you just freeze.
And the tracks are rugged.
Tracks
at that
are
time.
Rough.
Yeah.
You know, you're in monsoon season, so you're just going to get rained out.
Yeah.
You know, I rather would race a little later in the season. So start a little later and then run until middle of October, 1st of October. That's what I would do.
Middle of May to middle of September for me, or the end of September.
I'm kind of like Austin. I think the middle of April, end of April, that's when I would start. March is too early.
Yes. I mean, a lot of times you get great weather in March. I mean, we've seen it.
Once in a while you get lucky.
Yeah, and here's the thing. If you get lucky with a great weekend in March and you have a race scheduled,
right.
If you're a promoter, you are going to do very well with that event because people have got cabin fever. They want to get out. And if you strike it lucky with a great weekend, a promoter is really going to profit well off that weekend.
Yeah. Here's a good topic. John just checked in. He said, okay, as much sprint cars as you talk, the Outlaws has run one non-wing race and seems to be tear USAC apart. How many teams have pulled out of that series? Well, Austin, I'll let you start.
So you're saying pulled out of USAC?
Yeah.
And went to Extreme?
I don't think there's going to be a lot of that.
No, Extreme doesn't race enough to be a big competitor against USAC.
They're going to fill the gaps in between
the
USAC dates, and it's going to give those guys some other opportunities to
race.
Now, will USAC nip them in the butt from doing that, though? That's the question.
There might be, they might be like the World of Outlaw late models we see right now. You miss one race, right, you're out of the points fund. Right. You also could see a point to, you know, in the future, Casey Schumann wants to grow the Extreme Outlaw Sprint Car Series into kind of what USAC is. You know, around 50 to 60 dates, and, you know, next year that'll step on their toes. And I mean, if they keep the pay up and they keep the traveling kind of down, kind of like what ASCS is doing, you'll pull them away.
Well,
because USAC doesn't pay very well.
Well, I think they pay $5,000 to win, don't they?
Yeah, but when we had Robert Ballou on here 2 months ago, he said it's very hard to make a living.
It is.
With USAC.
And I've heard that many times over the years.
Right.
In fact, I've heard that from Robert Ballou several times over the years, that it's hard to make a living running for $5,000 to win. Now, how do guys do it when they race for $3,000 to win?
I don't know. We'll ask
Blake. Or $4,000 to win. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to be a little bit difficult.
USAC works pretty good if they got all the races in Indiana. And, you know, where they don't have to drive that far away from Indianapolis to go racing.
Yeah.
Their sprint week and those types of events, and when they got the bulk of the schedule on the, you know, in Indiana, but when they go out to the West Coast and, you know, do the Oval Nationals and some other events like that and spread across the country, go to Pennsylvania, areas like that, that's when it gets pretty costly for those racers.
Yeah, no doubt.
Most of them based out of the Indianapolis area.
Nobody has the balls to give us a call. I just can't believe it. 816-833-8553. 816-833-8553. And Austin, when they call in, let's make sure we get their name and their address and their phone number. And we'll give them a shirt.
Perfect.
All right. 816-833-8553. 816-833-8553.
Well, I mean, it's not as though we don't have any, you know, issues to talk about here. I mean, the fuel prices, the tire issues, and things of that nature. A lot of people's got different opinions on how to solve that.
Hey, do you guys think there's any chance that racing could get shut down this summer? Yes or no?
Not totally.
Explain what you mean on shutdown. We're canceling races
or we're putting series down? Because you don't have tires, the cost of fuel, those two elements alone, would that be enough to bring down some of the racers and get them? Listen, if you're a local racer, the price of fuel just to go out there to your local track, say if you race down at Central Missouri Speedway, that's not close, right? What's that, about 45 minutes from here, right?
Around there.
If you want to run down at Central Missouri Speedway every week, that's going to cost you, at the very minimum, $100 worth of fuel.
Yeah.
And sometimes $100 worth of fuel makes the difference. Can you go or not? Can you afford to go or not?
Well, that too. And, you know, we see a lot of, if we're talking on the local level, we see a lot of modified teams and stock car teams run late model plus. Now, it's a higher grade VP fuel. It costs $650, around that price, for a barrel of fuel. Now, they do get, you know, quite a few races out of it, unlike my, you know, $200 barrel of methanol that I get two races out of.
Right.
But, I mean, yeah, I mean, you look at that, too, and it's just, I'm lucky my fuel hasn't went up that much, but their other stuff that's, you know, a little more, you know, higher and expensive is just skyrocketed.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be interested to hear what different racers think about just, you know, what are their plans? How are they going to approach this thing?
How are they going to afford it? Because not everybody's got a big budget.
No.
I think we're going to see some cancellations this summer.
I don't think the whole season's going to get shut down.
I don't know if the whole season will be shut down, but what I do see is it getting to the point where it's so expensive that the car counts are going to go down.
Oh, I think that's very likely.
And on top of that, when the car count goes down, what happens to the grandstands, Austin?
Fans go down.
That's right.
Fans got it.
Listen, the fans are in the same boat, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, listen, can a family of four afford to take their family to the racetrack, buy the fuel, buy the tickets, eat the food at the racetrack? You know, that if you got a family of four, that's no less than $100-$200.
Mm-hmm. Every bit of that.
Is that too much?
Well, no, but most people have to make choices now of putting fuel in the car to get to work every day versus spending money for things that are not necessary. Yeah. And this is entertainment we're talking about here. So a lot of people, just the average person, is having to make some hard choices now how they're spending their money. Frog, because of high fuel prices.
Frog says, yes, lots of cancellations. No call, Frog. He's scared. Froggy's scared. He's afraid we'll cut his legs off. You ever a frog hunt?
No, I've never been hunting.
You've never hunted?
Let's just start adding stuff to the list that I've never done. And how non-typical am I?
You are very non-typical.
Yeah, but at least you're honest about it.
That's true.
You know.
That's good.
Hey, you'll be proud of me today. I drove 5 minutes out of my way to go get lunch.
You did not.
I did.
Where'd you go?
Panda Express. But I did follow my rule.
You did go to Casey's.
You know, I did follow my rule of if I'm driving south, do not go north to go somewhere to get to south. I went straight south, got to Liberty, turned west, and drove west, and then turned south. So I didn't break my rule. I just went a little out of my way.
Now, say that again, Austin. You won't go north to go south?
Yeah, so if I'm going to Scott's...
Well, why would anybody do that?
Well, I mean, to turn back around. So, I mean, when I leave Kearney, I have to drive south out of my parking lot at school to come down here.
Yeah.
Why would I drive, you know, 5 miles north into town to stop and get something to drive back past my school to come to here? Yeah. That's my rule.
Right. Hey, let's kind of go... let's do this. We need to pay some more bills. Let's do that right now. And when we come back, we're going to talk about all the streaming providers that are going to be supplying races this weekend. We'll get into all of that and more right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
39 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive.
it also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back, everyone, to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. It's fun. Phone Friday. Sometimes I say phone fun Friday. Is it easier to say phone Friday or phone fun Friday?
Phone Friday. Phone, keep the fun out fun. Of it. Now, it is fun.
Phone Friday.
But get
yeah,
fun
but
out
the
of it.
Phone's not ringing.
I know.
All the great listeners that we have out there, and they all want to chime in, and they all want to talk, but they won't call that phone number. Come on, somebody. 816-833-8553. 816-833-8553. You see the number right there on the screen? That little number down there, 833-8553? Come on now. Grow some stones and call in on the show. All right? All right, let's talk about some of the broadcasts that we've got going on. There is a lot going on this weekend, and man, Flo just it never slows down over at Flo. They've got the we got a caller calling in.
We've got at Flo Raceway. I talked about that modified race at Richmond tonight. You can watch that on Flo. Starts about 6:30
Ryan Newman's
Central
gonna
time
be-
tonight.
Ryan Newman's going to be running that race.
Port City Raceway's got racing going on tonight. You've got the Comp Cam Late Model Series down at the Arklatex Speedway. And Ocean Speedway's got their weekly racing program tonight. CRA Sprints at Keller Auto Speedway tonight. World of Outlaws on Dirt Vision tonight. Williams Grove Speedway's got their weekly racing going on tonight. And RacingDirt.com's covering the Lucas Oil ASCS Sooner region down at Creek County Speedway tonight. So
that's Farmer City Raceway's been rained out tonight. Lawton's still on for tonight. You can watch Williams Grove tonight on Dirt Vision as well. They always do a great job over there with their weekly show. So you can watch quite a bit of sprint car racing on Dirt Vision tonight. Again, the World of Outlaws at Lawton Speedway, Lawton, Oklahoma. And Williams Grove out in PA, you can watch that tonight. That's going to be some good stuff. I always enjoy watching that. And then tonight, Kirk, you can watch some Bristol on Racer XR. And that's
going
to be some
good
stuff.
They got late models going on down there again this weekend.
Right. That'd be pretty good.
Those races don't pay $50,000 to win again, do they? Like they did last weekend?
What are they paying this weekend?
I don't know.
I believe it's 50.
It is again.
Yeah, I think it is. All right, who's our caller?
Caleb.
All right, let's go to the phones. Caleb is calling in on the show. Thanks, Caleb, for calling in, buddy. Appreciate you.
Yeah, Scott, man. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, what's on your mind? What do you want to talk about?
Well, actually, I had something that you guys haven't talked about yet, but it's something that I've been thinking about. What do you think about there being too much saturation of tracks running on the same day in the market? Specifically in Kansas City, you know, we got a lot of tracks that run on Friday night and a lot of tracks that run on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And I mean, we have so many different sanctioning bodies, and some tracks run unsanctioned and some run IMCA and some run USRA.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just want to know about what you guys think about how that affects the car count in general, let alone combating all the other issues we got going on.
Caleb, is your problem that you have more than one track that you would like to go to on a Friday night? You know, me personally, I'm a big fan of US 36 and Lakeside Speedway, and that's a little bit of a problem for me because sometimes I want to go to both, and I can't do that, right?
Yeah, I agree completely. So one of the things is, you know, I'm in Topeka, and so for years we actually had three tracks, right here, and now we have zero.
That has to drive you crazy that Mayetta's closed down. They closed down the dirt track over at Heartland Park, Topeka. And Shawnee, you know, when I was growing up, I went to Shawnee all the time out there on 40 Highway when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Well, that's hard to believe. Well, Topeka has no racetrack.
It's crazy.
You got to think about it. I mean, it was before my time, but back in the day when the fairgrounds were running, you know, you had the fairgrounds too. So in the history of racing in Topeka, there's been so many great tracks, and now we have nothing. It drives me batshit. I ain't gonna lie. You know, for years I lived just about 3 miles north of Heartland Park, Topeka, and that was my church basically. You know, for years we went there every week. But my point was basically what I was talking about was, for me, I've got to travel to do any kind of racing,
right?
Which is not that big of a deal, because you know, now that it's been 3-4 years now, you know, that's kind of the norm. And sometimes I'll pick 2 weekends a month instead of getting to go racing every week, you know, just depending on what's going on. But when I look at the landscape, for me, I'm going to have to travel. But I can go within 2 hours, and there's 5 tracks all racing on Friday nights.
A lot of options,
I get pulled in any direction, and you know, part of the debacle is if I want to watch, you know, modifieds, I can go anywhere.
But
if I want to watch sprint cars, you know, I'm going to have to go a whole lot further. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking Friday, now I think that Butler is going to end up running on Friday, if I remember correctly. So that just added another one into the mix. Now we've got... For me, I'm talking either Lakeside, Butler, 36, Salina, Humboldt. You know, that really, for people that are okay with traveling, that market is pretty saturated when it comes to choosing where to watch shows.
Yeah, I get it.
Or if you're a driver, choosing where to drive.
Yeah. What is your favorite Friday night track that you typically go to?
I mean, when I can go out on Fridays, you know, I love Lakeside. I'm not gonna lie.
That was
my first Friday night track I ever went to, and honestly, you know, one of the better facilities that run on Friday nights. Of course, I think we all know that the detriment on that is if we get that late night train coming through, that you can be stuck there a little longer than you want to.
Right. Well, you know, and the good thing about Lakeside is for the most part, they get their shows over pretty timely, don't they, Austin? I mean,
about
10:30, 11 o'clock, right?
It's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad. And for a guy that's got to travel back to Topeka, that's pretty important to you as well, isn't it?
Yeah, man, I can make it from my doorstep to Lakeside in 50 minutes, which, I mean, that's, you know, now that I got to call a Kansas City track my home track, you know, that is important.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, you know, US 36, I can make it there in about 2 hours. Depending on what's going on 435 or 29 or whatever, you know, depending on which way I decide to get up there.
Now, if you were to go up to US 36, would you just go north up and catch 36 and take it all the way across? Would you do that? Is that how you would go over there? Or would you go down to Kansas City and then go up?
No, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for me to go north and then 36 over. It actually adds 15 minutes, and I'll just go ahead and I have a K-tag or whatever, so I'm not worried about, you know, the highway toll, the toll fee or whatever, but no, I usually take 70 over, then up.
Let me ask you, Caleb, is the price of fuel going to make a big difference for you this year? Because, you know, with the price of fuel and the difference between going 2 hours and 1 hour, is a big difference in the price of fuel and the cost of fuel. Is that going to change where you go this year?
You know, it kind of depends on what I want to see racing, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
At this point where I do have to travel, mm-hmm. if the difference is, you know, and if the difference is an hour, but I can go see late models or sprint cars, I'll probably go do that over, you know, a weekly show.
Yeah.
You know, not that the weekly racers are any less important, because, you know, I love all of motorsports.
But you're an open wheel guy. Yeah.
Yeah, ultimately, yeah, that's my favorite for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Man, there's going to be a lot of good open wheel action around our region this year. I'm looking forward to it. I think open wheel racing is on a click up right now. I just hope that the price of fuel and everything with the motels and all that, I just hope it doesn't drag it back down. That's all I hope.
I agree.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to put you on hold. Austin's going to get your information. You give him your name, your address, and your phone number, and we'll get you a shirt sent your way, okay? Appreciate you, Caleb.
All right, bud. Good to talk to you.
All right, thank you. All right, we'll put him on hold, and he'll get his information to Austin. I don't know, Kirk. It is a little shocking that there isn't anything up in Topeka to race right now. Think about Mayetta closing down. And, you know, maybe the biggest blow to Topeka is when Heartland Park Topeka shut down their dirt track.
Yeah, it is shocking. I mean, you talk about the number of racers that historically have come out of the Topeka area. I mean,
we've had a lot of racers
come out of Topeka.
Yeah.
And to think that they don't have a racetrack
in
that area anymore is, if you'd have told me that 10 years ago, that someday you'd have no racetrack in Topeka, I'd say you're crazy. You know, somebody would, if you didn't have a track open, somebody would build one somewhere.
Yeah.
But Mayetta and Heartland Park both closed down. That seems to be the end of it.
Right. Frog just chimed in. He said, are the streaming services paying so much the promoter doesn't have fans? Are they working off the back gate? No, not the case.
I don't think the streaming services are having that much of an impact as far as the number of people that come into the
You know what I've always told people? Real race fans don't stay home and watch it on TV. They go to the races. If the World of Outlaws come to Lakeside Speedway, are you going to stay home and watch it on TV? Not a chance.
No.
If the World of Outlaws are at US 36, are you going to stay home and not go up there and watch it? No. No, you're not going to do that.
See, I think...
Real race fans go to the races.
Right. I think the streaming helps the fan attendance, especially when it comes to these series like the World of Outlaws or your top late model series, because by having these races on all the time, you build up a fan base where... If you're not there in person, you're watching all the races no matter where they're at, and it gets you more involved and gives you more in tune with what's going on with that series, that when they do come to your hometown, that will incentivize you to go to the racetrack more because you have watched these guys all season on video. So I think it helps in terms of increasing the fan base.
Well, I mean, you're right, Kirk. I mean, I watched Husitz every night last year.
Right. Yeah.
I never missed a race at Husitz.
Right.
Just the dirt vision.
So
I'm with you. I watched every week as well.
Husitz got to be one of the best tracks in the country.
Right. So what I do, and I'm going to go to Husitz someday because
Kirk?
I've never been there, period.
You've never been to
Husitz? Never been to Husitz Speedway, but I've become a big fan of their Sunday night show, just like Austin was talking about. We watch those guys every week.
Yeah.
That it incentivizes me to want to drive up there and check it out for myself.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I'm familiar with these guys now.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I was told that this isn't a podcast. Do you believe that?
Oh, I heard you say that.
Is this a podcast, Austin? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
We're on every podcast channel money can buy, right?
Yes.
If you want to find us, all you got to do is go to Google and put in Mostly Motorsports, and it will direct you to wherever you need to go. Or you can go to racingboys.com, click on the banner at the top, and that will take you right to the page. What does it take you to? Apple?
Takes you to Podbean, you can click on the other icons on there for any other streaming service that you like. And it takes you to our homepage on those platforms.
I'm not trying to boast here a little bit, but we figured it up yesterday, Austin and I did, and we will be on the air this calendar year for 312 days.
A lot of shows.
Who does 312 shows? That includes Track Talk on Saturday mornings, by the way, just so you know. Who does 312 shows a year?
I don't think anybody. I think the only one that could compete with us is probably Joe Rogan doing five a day. Now, there's some other podcasts that we
do six a day. Six a week.
Not a day. Yeah, that's what I meant. But yeah. It's not the same as ours. But, I mean, there's probably other places that have podcasts that, you know, do daily shows. But you don't see them doing it 6 days a week.
No.
That's a grind.
That is a grind. The only day off we have is Sunday. Saturday is not as difficult as it used to be because we run a lot of sound from the show.
I have days off. You guys are the ones that are working, not me.
Well, that's all right. Austin, you don't mind doing it, do you?
Yes, it might be a job, but I don't feel like it's really a job.
Well, you know,
I just come and hang out for an hour and a half.
He comes in and works for 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
It's not a bad gig,
is it? It's not. I can still go home and work on race cars and not miss a beat.
I'm an old retired guy now, remember?
You know,
I'm not grinding.
We missed you when you were sick, though.
Oh, bunch of people missed me, too. I know I came back Wednesday, and the chat room was pretty lively.
How many people asked how you were feeling? A lot, didn't they?
Yeah, I watched Tuesday's show, and there was probably 10. I mean, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
One thing about it in this business, when you're sick, everybody knows it.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Because you're not here.
Well, we've had a really good show today. It's always fun to just sit around and shoot the bull on Fridays. It's really my favorite day.
I agree with you.
Yeah. How about you, Kirk?
Yeah, I enjoy it.
You don't mind sitting in on Fridays, do you?
I love it.
Yeah.
No, Kirk just moves about 20 feet across the room on Fridays.
Yeah, no, he sits over there in the corner during the week, and then he comes over here on Fridays.
Friday and Saturday.
We got a wheelless chair and his plastic thing back in so he can roll around.
You know, I come in here because I love the show. I'm a fan.
Oh,
I want to hear it.
Kirk,
I could listen to it at home.
Kirk.
You know, I can listen and watch it at home, and it's more fun being here.
So. We would rather you be here. Just so you know. We are the Racing Boys.
There's been a couple of days here where I've had to watch from afar, but you know, most days I got nothing better going on.
When he gets hooked up on his Iowa State Cyclones.
Yeah, hey, well, not anymore.
The bottom line is I've got nothing better to do, so why not come in here and watch you guys go to work?
Did you get a haircut, Kurt?
I did, yesterday.
I need a haircut.
I can tell.
I want to make sure that I got it done, especially
for
this show.
His little spikes on his head are a little bit shorter.
I hate to put this out there, but I have, I think, more hair on my head than you guys combined.
Hey,
oh, I know that.
That's not a bunch of shit right there.
Not even a debate.
what the hell? You just kicked me and Kirk in the nuts.
No. Take us respectfully.
Well, let me tell you, when I had hair, I had a lot more hair than you, bud. Yeah. I'm just telling you right now.
If you don't get that hair cut,
it's going to be touching the roof here in a minute.
Oh, I know. It's got a low hanging roof over here.
Enjoy it while you got it, my son.
Yeah, because you keep dragging those helmets on and off your head.
So you were supposed to go racing this weekend, Austin?
Austin going for the low blow. Did you see that?
I'm putting my job in jeopardy.
So you were supposed to go racing this weekend, but no?
No, as everybody else is waiting for parts, I'm waiting for parts for an engine. We're really close to being ready.
2 weeks, right?
2 weeks, so.
You'll be there for the opening night of the Warrior Region, though.
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
If not, I might have to try and see if one of our listeners knows something with the ride, and
You can borrow a motor, maybe.
Yeah. That or a ride, and we'll figure it out. Hopefully that doesn't happen, because I want to run my new car. But
Right. We don't want.
Even if you're not racing, you always got that helmet bag and your fire suit in the car just in case.
Yeah.
If you go to the racetrack just to watch.
He's got to answer the phone. Phone call coming in, Kurt.
That's what drivers do, right?
What?
Make sure you got the helmet bag in the car and the fire suit.
I used to carry my helmet bag and fire suit with me when I traveled around just in case anybody wanted to ask me to drive a street stock somewhere.
You never know. Yeah. You never know.
Well, I meant that when I was in the bus. We got Steve. Is it Steve? Yep. All right. Let's take a phone call from Steve. Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Hi, guys. How y'all doing?
Oh, we're just living the dream, bud. How about you?
Not too bad. I'm enjoying a nice day here in St. Charles.
Yeah. Is it warmer there than it is here? I think it's only like 55 here.
Yeah, we're at 45 now.
Oh, well, hopefully it gets a little better for you. What do you got, Steve?
Well, I don't remember hearing. Maybe I missed that day. You went to see some Conway Twitty cover band. I want to see how you enjoyed the show.
I didn't go see Conway Twitty cover
band. Was that somebody else?
No, I'm not one for the old twangy country, to be honest with you, Steve.
No, you went to a blues guy. I can't remember.
Tab Benoit.
Yeah, how was it?
My gosh, she is so good, man. Tab Benoit is from Louisiana, and he sings that Cajun blues, and he's got that Cajun blues voice he sings it with, and he is so unbelievable. And the great thing I love about going and watching Tab Benoit every time that he goes down to Knuckleheads is he brings in an opening act with him, and they must tour with him on his bus because he's got a real fancy bus. And he plays the drums for the opening act.
How cool is that?
For him.
He gets up and he plays the drums for the opening act for his show. It is so cool because you never see anybody want to play two sets, right? He comes out, plays the drums for the opening act. And here's what happens. He's got one guy that, and his bass player plays two sets. Tab Benoit's bass player plays two sets because he plays with the opening act. With Tab playing the drums, then they bring out the guitar player guy, and he plays his songs while Tab's playing the drums, and his bass player plays the bass. And then they go off stage, take a break for a little bit. When they come back out, Tab plays the guitar, his bass player comes back out, plays bass, and then a drummer comes out and plays the drums for Tab. So there's probably about six of them on this bus, and they travel all around the country. He's got it figured out. He's not paying a bunch of people a bunch of money.
Well, other than fuel.
Yeah.
He just got to work a little harder.
Yeah.
Or drive his price up.
Well, let me go back to racing then, I guess.
All right.
I was after the USAC, I would say, debacle with the lab testing their tires.
Yeah.
Didn't the World of Outlaws Extreme Series penalized two people?
They did. Who was it, Austin?
That was before USAC's.
But they did penalize two drivers down in Volusia, didn't they?
Justin Grant and I believe it was Chase Stockton.
Yeah, that's what it was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if they used the same lab.
I don't think so. Because these kept failing. So I think they might have went somewhere else.
Didn't they tested that three times, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what they're saying now, that they tested that tire three times?
I need to sit down and read it. It was kind of wordy, but yeah, that's what I believe I read.
Mm-hmm.
With these tire issues that we got going on, the shortage of tires, we're going to see more of this kind of stuff happen? People try to doctor the tires or because they won't try to save tires. They want to
listen, if they know they're checking their tires, don't try it.
Well, these things are already soft enough. I don't know why you want to make them any softer.
Right. Especially when we're burning them off right now, right?
You want to
be easy on your tire consumption.
Right, and I mean, maybe in the summertime when it gets kind of, you know, dry and you want to maybe bring some old tires back to life, you can put a little chemical on it. Not that, I mean, I've been around.
That you're endorsing that.
No, yeah, I've been around it for a while. I know what's kind of going on, but.
Because in go-kart racing, you dope tires all the time. Right?
Yeah. It sucked, and I mean, I don't.
People, it's a pain in the ass. It is.
It stinks, and you got to try and cover it. And yeah, you might be able to bring some old tires back to life, you know, with some chemical, but it's really not worth it.
Yeah.
Because we throw these tires away after 50, 75 laps.
Right.
Well, is it Tosher the only one that's having the problem, or is it all tire manufacturers across the board?
Well, it's the teams that dope the tires.
No, I'd say he's talking about Hoosier, or is it just Hoosier?
Well, everybody's having a shortage.
Everybody's having a shortage.
Having a shortage as well, right? It's a chemical that goes in the tires is the problem. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Steve, we appreciate you calling in, man. Call in anytime on the show. We appreciate you.
Take care, guys.
All right, there you have it. Steve checking in with us. All right, here we go. Got another one. I watched a young lady run in Bristol last night. Last name, Merwin. You guys know much on her. She was kicking those boys' butt in the street stocks last night. I didn't watch that last night.
I didn't see that.
I didn't see it either.
No, I unfortunately got to watch the Hornets. I didn't get to see anything good.
There was not, you know, this is just the way I feel about it. There's nothing that would thrill me more to see a young lady step forward and just start kicking ass.
We need a young lady.
I'd love to see it.
Have you seen one yet?
We've kind of seen a
slight. Who's the best lady racer
right now?
Right now,
Kaylee Bryson.
I was just going to mention the same thing. She impressed
the
hell out of me.
You're right.
She impressed the hell out of me down at the Chili Bowl.
Yeah.
When she passed Blake Hahn.
What's the girl? What's the girl? Avedasian from
Jade Avedasian.
She's pretty good too.
She's pretty good.
She won that $20,000 over at Sweet Springs here a couple of years ago.
Yeah, she's good.
I mean, there's three or four that females that run with USAC right now. I mean, Jade's doing it, Taylor Reimer and Kaylee Bryson. I mean, they all have their good runs. They all do pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Drewke, she's not doing too good in the truck series though, is she?
Haley Deegan.
Deegan. I mean, what did I say, Drewke?
Tyler Drewke.
What did I say, Drewke? Why did I say that?
Haley Deegan.
Haley Deegan. She's had some rotten luck, hasn't she?
Yeah. I'm not her biggest fan.
She kind of brings her luck, though, doesn't she?
Yeah.
In drag racing, we've seen ladies step forward and do very well. Erica Enders in Pro Stock, which I think that's a very difficult car to drive in drag racing, is the Pro Stock. Because not only you got to be quick on the trigger, but the shifting and everything else that goes on. She's won like four championships in that series. And is one of the top drivers in that series and has been for a long time. I think that's kind of cool.
Ethan, we know we know it's Hoosier having the problem, not USAC. We know that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for today's show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and watching the show. We appreciate it each and every day. We'll do it all over again Monday, 12 noon Central Time. We hope that you'll join us. We'll have some guests on as well. Don't forget tomorrow morning Track Talk on Sports Radio 810 WHB here in Kansas City. Sports Radio 810 WHB is the largest all sports radio station in the country. It reaches seven states here in the Midwest, 44,000 square miles. It is all over the Midwest. We're on Sports Radio 810 for hour number one. Hour number two is right here on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and racingboys.com. You can watch it on there as well. So, hour one on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Both hours you can watch online right here on Facebook, Twitter, racingboys.com, and YouTube. So, if you want to watch it, you can watch both hours. Again, you can join us there. Or you can listen to it on your radio if you're in the Kansas City area or somewhere outside the Kansas City area. Anywhere, really, roughly in the Midwest. That 810, Sports Radio 810 just reaches out everywhere, doesn't it, Kurt? It's crazy.
It's a blowtorch.
It is a blowtorch. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. We hope that you'll join us tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Central Time on Track Talk. For Kirk Elliott, for Austin O'Neill, I'm Scott Traylor. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. And if you don't make it tomorrow morning, we'll see you Monday, 12 noon Central Time, right here on Mostly Motorsports.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.